Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Yeah, the hadith, the question is, somebody is making a request, let's say for money, and you come to know that this person has some, he's not absolutely poor. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, لا تردن سائل, don't turn away a sa'il, the one who is requesting, حتى ولو رأيت في يديه قلتي ذهب, even if you see in his hands, قلتي ذهب, two pieces of gold, and that piece is like an ounce, but which means you know that he has some gold in his hand, which means that you know that he has some wealth. And he says, لا تردن السائل, you don't turn him away. And the in the explanation, don't turn him away, it means don't turn him away harshly, like don't push him aside and humiliate him further. You have to speak to him or respond to him kindly. Part of the response, not necessarily to give, because the response is not, maybe I'm not able to give, or the one who is asking, maybe he has more than I do. Part of the response can be is, what is your need? Since you do have wealth, maybe you have been indebted more than the wealth you have, it's possible. Maybe he has two pieces of gold, but he is, let's say, indebted for 10 pieces. It's possible. It's possible that the gold that he has, or the money, that he's going to pay a debt, and then after he pays that debt, that he will have no more food to eat. It's possible. So part of the response to the person is to actually find the exact situation he is in and what type of help he is looking for. But at least not to be harsh to the person who is making a request. The fact that he allowed himself to be in a position where he is a sa'il, he is a requesting, deserves the fact that he should not be turned away harshly. And that's the point that the hadith wants to drive home. Okay. That's true. Okay, the comment here is the ayah about the zakah, which says innama as-sadaqatu lil-fuqara wal-masakin. The sadaqah goes to faqir and miskin, and these are two categories of poverty. One category, which is miskin, is the extreme poverty, where someone has nothing, absolutely nothing, so he needs food to eat. And al-faqir is a category of poor who has something but not sufficient. Let's say someone has the ability to pay his rent, to pay, let's say, tuitions for his children to school, and some food, but he still does not have enough, let's say, the last thing that to take care of, let's say, his parent. Let's say he has sufficient to teach his kids, to give a rent, to bring some food, but still his parents are responsible from him. So he is poor for that. So that's deficiency. So poverty of faqir is a poor who still has some deficiency. So the hadith, in fact, is about that person can fall in this category. may fall. Now, of course, again, in the society, as I said, now once Islam is established, the first thing is the value. The value is, I should not be a rejecter. I shouldn't have that in my heart that whomever I see along the street or someone is coming to ask, always pushing people aside and being harsh. And there is a category of people who are absolutely harsh. If someone makes a request to them, they can just almost kick them out or evict them. That characteristic Islam doesn't want. Islam wants that attribute of softness, to be soft-hearted, to be nice, to be good for others, to be kind, to have that feeling that I can give. But also, now when Islam is established and the society of Islam is established, as I said, there is a system. And the system is, when someone comes and makes a request, part of the response to that person is to lead him and show him how he can get the proper support in a continuous basis. Leave alone giving, I can be giving all the money, extra abundance that I have, I put it in Baytul Mal. I'm going to distribute it to individuals. So there is a system for that. So then part of my response, if someone is coming to ask for, he's in debt, he's in immediate need, or he is a continuous need, if it's immediate need for some food, okay, I can take care of that. But then what's beyond that? Part of taking care of a person who is in definite need is actually to take him and show him exactly how the system can take care of him. And there are all types of ways the system can take care of the poor. Well, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahabi that he has a worn out clothes, let's say he has clothing that's torn, that's worn out, that's rotten, that's dirty, that's ugly, and this person is rich. He has money enough to buy his at least a piece of clothes. So he told him, go and buy. Allah azza wa jal wants to see his ni'mah upon you. Which means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that this person is holding up on his money. It's not that he's in need of money, he's holding money and he does not, he appears as if he's poor. So that the Prophet ﷺ did not like from the person. So he showed him, he told him, he taught him, and he taught us how to behave. Now on the Israf issue, Israf does not mean extravaganza. Israf is not translated into extravaganza. Israf is translated into spending in haram ways. وَلَا تُطَعْ مَنْ هُوَ مُسْرِفٌ كَذَّابٌ. That he says, do not listen and obey to who is musrif and kadhab. Musrif, the one who spends his money in haram. He gambles, he drinks beer, he spends his money on women, he spends his money on all types of false merchandise and goods. That's musrif. Kadhab, he's a liar. So al-israf, you cannot say, oh, I have, Allah Azza wa Jal gave me lots of wealth, I am a millionaire, and therefore if I am a millionaire, I have to have a bar in my basement to show my wealth. That's haram. Now whether you are poor or rich, you cannot do that. A rich person who would be supporting some companies that deal with stocks, he says, I'm going to buy 10% of Citigroup, a bank. I'm a rich person, I invest my money, put it in a saving account so that they will be giving loans to people with riba. That's israf. Al-israf is to spend in haram, but to spend in halal is not israf. If you have, if you are a millionaire, and you can live in a house that is 5 bedrooms house instead of 3 or 2, that's not israf. That's not israf. But if you put in your house the handles of your doors with gold, that's israf. That's haram. So you cannot use gold as part of the tools for your food or for your for tools in the house or for your stairways to be painted with gold and so on. That is israf. So if you are using that for, because that's haram, not because it's too much money, because it's haram. Well, coming to the zuhd issue, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith, he says, "Ana azhadukum fi dunya." I'm the most person who has zuhud in dunya. Zuhud means I leave behind my worldly things. That's a letter for me. Thank you, jazakallah khair. Yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ana azhadukum fi dunya." However, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go out with his Sahaba, he will have the cleanest, the best clothes he has. He never comes out with a worn out piece of clothes. He never comes out with something that is not washed. He never comes out with something that looks bad. Now whatever he has, he will use. Whenever he has food at home, he will never leave that food and not eat it. Or if a guest comes, if someone comes for him and he needs food, immediately he asks all his wives, he says, "Whatever food you have, bring it up." And in fact, in one of the hadith that was narrated in relation to the surah, فَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, that Allah Azza wa Jal, in fact actually, it says, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَأَوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, that Allah Azza wa Jal made you rich. It says that towards the end of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards the conquest of Mecca, and when all of these Yemen was conquered and part of Sham was annexed to Islam, he says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to provide food for his wives and family for the entire year. Quta amir. At the time when he first migrated to Medina, he barely had a quut, a food for one day or one night. By the time Islam was growing and the Islamic State was big, he was able to provide for the entire year. And he was able to give some of the Sahaba al-mi'ata wal-mi'atayni min al-ibil, 100 or 200 of camels for people who need help. He would just give them 200 camels. 200 camels, by today's standard, a camel is almost $50,000. So that's almost $1 million in today's wealth. Huge. He used to give this a person who would ask for help because the state was big. So az-zuhd, and still he says, "Ana azhadukum fi dunya." Az-zuhd means I don't allow the dunya to control me. The fact that I have wealth does not allow me to stay at home and not go to the jihad. That's zuhd. And remember that some of the Sahaba, those who did not go in the Battle of Tabuk, remember in Battle of Tabuk, people did not go to the war. Some were real hypocrites, munafiqeen, and some were Muslims who acted like hypocrites. And those three guys who acted like hypocrites, they told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "We had enough wealth at home. We were afraid that if we go to jihad, we will lose our crops." The dates were coming up because it was summertime, and the dates, they get their fruits and the dates become ripe in the summertime. They said, "We were afraid to lose that. It's money." So the money controlled them. The wealth controlled them. They did not let them go to the war, to jihad. That is what is zuhud comes to resolve. A zuhud means, if I have like a bottle of water, and I am a little bit thirsty, I want to drink, but then there is yet one more word to say to a young child who is passing from me here, or to a person who is asking question, I would say, let this be aside for a while. I can put it aside, let me take care of this issue first. That is similar to what we call the zuhd. So you let your life behind you rather than in front of you. You don't allow your life style or extravagance life to drive you. Like the Sahabi at the Battle of Badr, the fight was happening, and the people, the Muslims and the Mushriks and the Mushrikeen, they were in the middle of the fight, and there was one man, one Sahaba, probably he did his share of the fight, he came back, and he was eating some dates. And he was talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked him, Ya Rasulullah, ماذا بيني وبين الجنة? What is standing between me and Jannah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, these three pieces of dates that you have. You had three pieces of dates, he wanted to eat them. He told them, what is between you and Jannah is this time. The time to eat the dates, because once you eat them, you will be back in the jihad and you may become shaheed. Then that Sahabi, he says, Subhanallah, bakhin bakhin. He actually spit out part of the dates which were in his mouth already, because he already eaten something. He spit them out and he ran to the front and he got killed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, ذهب شهيدا في سبيل الله. He went a martyr in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal. This person. Bakhin, bakhin, he said, and he threw out the dates. That is zuhud. It's not that he doesn't have the dates. He doesn't like them. He likes them. He wants to eat them. But okay, I'll put them aside. Let me go and fight first. I can wait. But the zuhud, to come out with worn out clothes, to look like a poor all the time, to show up in the society as being the poorest guy, that's not zuhud. That's bukhl. That's bukhl. That's not zuhud. That's bakhil. Bakhil means miser. He doesn't like to spend. There is a difference between bukhl and zuhud. Az-Zahid, many of the Sahaba used to say about themselves, they would come out in the best clothing they have, and they would say, we are more zahid than the ones who show up as poor. Because whatever we have shows up on us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَرَى أَثَرَ نِعْمَتِهِ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ. Allah, when He gives you some money, some wealth, He wants to see that. Allah does not give the wealth for people to hide. Allah does not give you a wealth, millions. You never gain millions by your skills only. You gain millions, it's the rizq of Allah Azza wa Jal. Once you gain them, and then you say, okay, you put them in the bank, you put them somewhere, and you live like a person who has only few hundred dollars. It doesn't work like that. It has to show. Yes, brother. Yeah. Okay, the question is about people who show off in marriages. Now, I want to make clear between two words, to show the wealth or to show off. Show the wealth, show the fact that I am wealthy, the fact that I have, is exactly the opposite of hiding what I have. So to hide or to unreveal the reality of my wealth, that's not called for. Show off means to show pride, to build a pride in front of the people because of wealth. That's uncalled for. Show off or to show this pride. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jal treated this issue in the case of Qarun. Because Qarun is one of the absolutely wealthy people in the history of mankind. Probably his wealth even was more than the current wealth of the billionaires, according to the description of the Quran. The problem of Qarun is to the show off, because it says خرج على قومه في زينته. He walked out with his people with all his extravaganza, with all his decorations, in order to show off, to show that I am too powerful, my wealth is absolutely huge, enormous, and no one can make as much wealth as I have, and no one can take the wealth out of me. That is a show off. That show off is uncalled for. That's haram. That's not allowed. Now, in the marriages, because marriages is an act, it's a transaction. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it says about the mahr, which is the money that is spent for the wife at the time of marriage. Now, part of the money that's spent at the wife at the time of marriage is the party. Because although that money does not go directly as a wealth, but it's part of that whole mahr. It's the same, because whether you spend it on the party or spend it on gold or spend it on honeymoon, it's part of the mahr. The hadith says, أَقَلُّهُنَّ mahr أَكْثَرُهُنَّ barakah. The least you spend on the woman is more barakah. So there is a hadith there. So the issue, spending a lot, too much, more than the norm, because أَقَلُّهُنَّ mahr, usually, because there are other hadiths on this issue about when, how much is less, how much is more. Usually it is saying mahr al-mithl, it's the norm of the society. If it's in the norm, the spending is, let's say for each marriage, within $10,000 or $20,000, that's a norm. Then that is aqalluhunna mahr. That's the least. Because you go to the norm, to the lowest of the norm. But if you go now, what's the average? $20,000, I will spend $100,000. That's way beyond the norm. So in the marriage is different. And the show off, every time there is a show off, even in the clothings. Clothings, Allah Azza wa Jal wants to see that I have good clothings. But if now I go and find out, let's say the absolutely most expensive suit in the world, just to show that I can do that, that's a show off. It's not to show. To show the ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal, to declare that I'm not poor. That's to show. To show off is to let the other people know that no one can match me. That is not called for. That's in Islam, is not called for at all. Well, the question here is regarding Ibn Mas'ud when he stood up in the society of Mecca in Quraysh and he was beaten. And the other issue is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told some Sahaba who wanted to go to the fight, to the jihad, and he asked someone, do you have a mother that needs care? And he said yes. Then he said, فَبِهَا فَجَاهِدْ. Then make your jihad with your mother, take care of your mother. This is a very expanded issue. Number one, in the society of Mecca, at the time when Muslims were oppressed, and when the da'wah was to bring Islam up, this was the time of absolute azima. Azima means this is the absolute highest level of momentum. Everybody's momentum was called for. Everybody should have spent the utmost power and momentum he has in order to raise the level of Islam. Because the Muslims were few, they were weak, and Islam was still on the rise. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give a hint to any Sahabi, any Muslim who was under the torture to back off. And when Ali Yasir was being tortured and it was imminent that they could be killed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, sabran ala Yasir. Just be patient, steadfast. Continue doing whatever you are doing. فَأَنَّ مَوْعِدَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ 5 minutes? Okay. فَأَنَّ مَوْعِدَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ It's time, we will see you in Jannah. So that's the time when Abdullah bin Mas'ud was doing what he was doing. What Uthman bin Mad'un did in Mecca. It was that case. Now, in Medina, when jihad was up, and there were also different occasions. Different occasions. Occasions when, like the Battle of Tabuk, when it was very, very high importance and significance for the battle, there was no one who was allowed to stay behind. No one. Except whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told to stay behind. Everybody else should have come. Even an older person who was absolutely barely able to walk. And when he asked his children that they should put him on the camel so that he goes to the fight, the Prophet ﷺ did not tell him to go back. And that Sahabi, he explained that I am being called upon because the ayah says, "Infiru khifafan wa thiqala." Get out to the fight, whether you are light or heavy, you are weak or strong, able or unable, doesn't matter. Everybody should go. Now, the occasion when the person, when the Prophet ﷺ would tell someone, now you stay, there is a reason. Now he is giving a preference for his mother for several reasons. One of them is probably that mother needed the utmost care, and therefore somebody has to take care of her. And the best one who can take care of her is her son. Number two, that the number of Muslims who are going to the war, to the jihad, are more than enough. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam know that. So that's a special cases that the Imam or the Amir of the jihad, he knows cases. Then he tells you, you better stay because you need a mother. You need, your mother needs you. You better stay because you have knowledge, so you need to teach the kids behind. There are kids who need some teaching. You better stay because there are women who are staying and we don't want hypocrites to come and abuse the women. I need the protection. So you better stay as a guard. So that's distribution of duties for Muslims. That's not up to certain individual. So that's the case, but it doesn't undermine or diminish that level which I spoken about, that you have to come up and bring up the best of what you have for Islam. Now let me answer this question from the sisters and then we'll stop for the break. Okay? The question, what is the fitra and why we pay it in different amount? The fitra, this is the zakatul fitr. It's called zakatul fitr. The zakah of the day of breaking the fast, the end of Ramadan. This is, it's a sadaqah. It is different from the zakah. The zakah is an amount of money which is bound only money, 2.5% of my wealth. Zakatul fitr, it's a zakah, it's a sadaqah, not on the account of the wealth. It's a zakah, it's on the account of the soul, of the body, of the human. So whether you are wealthy or poor, at the end of Ramadan, the fact that you fasted 29 or 30 days, Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to provide a sadaqah so that... One more letter. Okay. So you have to provide that sadaqah. So sadaqatul fitr is a sadaqah that is that's owed for each Muslim. It doesn't matter the age, whether he is born on the day of Eid. In fact, most of the narrations put it on Eid, but some other fuqa, they say the last night of Ramadan, someone is born, then you have to pay sadaqah on him. The boy, the girl, the elderly, the one who is fasting, the one who is not fasting because of health, it doesn't matter. Everybody has to pay the sadaqah. That's number one. Number two, the time of the sadaqatul fitr is the day of Eid before the prayer. Before the actual prayer of the Eid, before the time the prayer takes place, someone has to already pay the sadaqah. If it's not paid until then, the sadaqah continues to be an obligation, you have to pay it, but the ajr will be, you will lose the ajr of the timing. Just like the prayer. When you don't pray dhuhr on time, you still have to pray it, but you don't get the ajr of praying on time. Now the amount of the question is why it's different amount, because the value of the sadaqah, the value of sadaqatul fitr, it is measured, it's measured in a sa' of burr. It's on the bushel, which is a certain measure of wheat, but that the price of that bushel of wheat is different. If we are in America, that bushel, let's say it's cost $5 or $10, then the sadaqah would be $10. If you are in Pakistan and that is the price of that bushel is, let's say, 20 rupees, then it's 20 rupees. So that's why it's different, because the conversion of money, the conversion from the 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 uh, the measurements or the amount of wheat, that's the size or that's the amount of sadaqat al-fitr, the price of that differs from place to place. That's why we pay it differently from location to location. But in the same location should be the same. I don't know how much is it in this in the U.S. yet. This if somebody knows, $5.
Ten. Some say seven, some say ten.
Well, somebody has to actually look to be accurate. To look at the bushel of wheat, look at the standard. Usually, there is on the net. You can, it's a stock that can be an average during Ramadan. How much the cost is there? What's the dalil behind Salatul Tasbih? Most of the Tasbih, Fuqaha says it's a Sunnah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did make that Salah. It's not particular to Ramadan. It can be prayed any time. And there is a specific way of doing it, which is it's well known how to make that Salat Tasbih, but it's a sunnah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. Most of the hadiths on Salat Tasbih are sahih hadith, but it's not particular to Ramadan. It can be done at any time. Jazakum Allahu khair.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sirah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.